There's something about live worship that you just can't get through a screen, isn't there? It's just amazing to just be together today and just sharing in these moments where we celebrate God being a way maker. Just such beautiful words, and I think they probably mean more to us now than maybe they did just a few months ago. Now, I realized something, Brad. I don't have to trim my sermon for this service. So, you'll be back? Okay. I'll text you. We're talking about the four C's after COVID, and this is a series we started last week, and we'll do this week and next week. And I just really wanted us to maybe take a moment or a minute to stop and reflect on our world and maybe ourselves and how we have lived before this and maybe some of the things that we've learned in the midst of this. Last week we set this precedent. We talked about the first two of these words. And one of the things we got to was that all relationships begin with connection and communication. Every relationship that you have in your life, even the relationship that you have with your children or your spouse or your workplace or your friends or whoever it might be, all those relationships begin with feeling a sense of connection and then communicating towards that connection. We're communicating with our kids even before our kids can fully communicate with us. And as we grow in our connection with people, we communicate more. And the more we communicate, the more that it connects us to them and vice versa. And the cycle just revolves and revolves. Today we're going to be talking about that third C in the midst of this word community. We're going to talk about what does it mean to be a part of a community. What does this word really mean for all of us? Now, many words in the English language begin with these first three letters, com, C-O-M, and they come from Latin roots and ultimately Greek roots, and they have some similar meaning. But if you look this up in the dictionary, it will tell you that the word com means with or together or in association or with intense force or completely. And if you think about how many words we have in our language that begin with these letters, words like commit, which we'll talk about next week, commitment, common, community, what we're talking about today, even communion, something that as a church we share in together, they all come from the same root word. Now today, like I said, we're talking about community, and it's very easy to see that that is built up of these two words, the word common and the word unity, meaning we have things in common, there is some commonality between us, and now we have decided to be in unity together. Of all the conversations that I've had with people, mostly some of our older people, I say, well, how are you doing? And they say, well, I'm feeling very lonely. In fact, the highlight of my week is going to Walmart or you know, going to United or just spending a little bit of time around some people. I think all of us have probably felt that to some extent during this. And what we've maybe realized about ourselves is that we are all in search of community. All of us need that in our life. Even the introverts out there who enjoyed it for the first month and then realized that your kids never go away. You said, you know, I really need community that's bigger than just this. I need some community. I want to experience some community. We're all in search of that. And I love the way that society sort of brands us towards these things. We've learned some new phrases that we will know moving forward. My favorite one has got to be social distancing. I love this phrase because it is absolutely inaccurate. When was the last time you went to a party and said, okay, sweetie, we're going to go to a party and we're going to be super social and we're going to do that by standing in the corner and not talking to anybody? Okay, you cannot do that. What they should have called it was societal distancing, but we live in West Texas and nobody can pronounce that, so we just went with social distancing, okay? But it's impossible to be social with people at a distance. I think we've learned that. You know, 6 feet, we can have a conversation, but we don't feel connected. Even handshakes and hugs, you know, even for the ones of us that maybe don't feel like we need that as much, we do need that contact with people. We need to be engaged with each other, and that's one of the foundations of being in community. Another phrase that I love, but it's not really a part of this, but I think we're seeing a lot of it, is people say that we're just going to have to agree to disagree, which I think is a funny statement because it's absolutely inaccurate. Because what you're saying is the only thing that we agree about is the fact that we're disagreeing right now. So it's a statement of disagreement about agreement. It's just, you know, don't say it. If you're having a fight with your spouse, the next time you're having a fight with your spouse and you're not agreeing about something, just say these words. Just look at and say, honey, let's just agree to disagree. And just watch the relaxation come over the other person when you say that to them. Okay? I think we've learned we need to be engaged with each other in powerful ways. All communities begin with connection and communication, but they become relationships, they become communities, true communities, only through commitment. Now, we're going to talk about commitment next week because that's really the glue that binds all four of these things together and helps us to step healthily towards all four of them. But we're going to have to learn what it means to have true and real relationships with people again. We're going to have to learn how to find community once more. Now, the Bible is actually littered with verses about this idea of community. It doesn't always use the word community because that's our word. That was invented way later. But when the apostles or people in the New Testament, mostly Paul, when they write about community, about the faith community specifically, the one thing that they use are words like one another or the word one. They'll say, you know, when everybody was together and they were one, they're talking about this idea of community. And our ears should perk up a little bit and we should say, okay, Paul's talking about community and we need to pay attention to what he's saying about what community looks like. Now, I also want to be clear. The only difference between secular communities and religious or faith communities is recognition. Secular communities and faith communities, they all start with connection and communication and they find community. The only difference is recognizing that God is a part of one of the communities. When we stand before, when people stand before me and that are getting married, and I'm doing their wedding, one of the things that we talk about is, okay, it's going to be you and you and God moving forward. That's what it's going to be. Now, when we're married, we struggle with this, and it's not long before we kind of move God to the side, and it's us, and the community doesn't seem to go as well, and then we've got to remind ourselves, okay, we need to put God back in the community, because that's what it is. That everybody outside of these two people is now extended family, and it's just you and me and God. That's what it ultimately is. This is why when Jesus is speaking and teaching his disciples in Matthew 18, he says to them, look, wherever there's two or more of you that come together with common faith, there I am with you. I'm a part of that community, which takes all the pressure off. It's not about me being the leader of the community because this community already has a leader because it's a faith community, and that leader is Jesus. That just helps so much more than me constantly trying to navigate all the ins and outs of this community. Now, today, we're going to talk about how do communities function. In other words, how do I know if I'm in a community, and how do I know what kind of community I am actually in? I'm going to give you five different things today. I know there's more things that we could share about community, but I think these five are a good start for you to understand what I'm saying. I'm also going to give you quite a few verses that I'm going to read, and I'm not reading them to try to prove to you that I'm right. I'm just reading them to you to show you how prolific this idea of community is in the New Testament, even actually throughout all of Scripture. But here are the five points that I'm going to share with you. Number one is this. Communities break down barriers. Do you want to know what people are really good at? Just turn on the news and you'll see what people are good at. People are good at building walls. People are good at building boundaries. That's what we're good at. If I don't like you, I'm going to put up a wall. If I don't agree with you, I'm going to put up a wall. I'm going to live in my own little bubble that everybody agrees with me, and after a while, the only person that's going to be in my bubble is me. We are good at building barriers. Good community, healthy community, tears down or breaks down barriers. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. He's speaking to a faith community. He's talking to them about how to live out this story of faith. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2, he gives these guidelines. He says this, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. You see the community language there? Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Because there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. Do you think Paul might be interested in this idea of one? He's trying to say, listen, when you come into a place of faith with God, it's about this oneness from day one. It's about God is one. Even the Trinity, three parts being one. There is this beautiful divine unity that exists that we get to step into and be a part of. And in fact, when we step into this oneness, then passages like Galatians 3, some of the best passages that Paul writes, he says, and when we are in Christ, there is now no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free. There's not even man and woman anymore. Not young and old, not rich and poor, not black and white. In fact, any barrier that humans have put up, God is able to tear down in Christ because Christ has destroyed the biggest barrier between us and God. The barrier between life and death has been destroyed, and God is in the business of tearing down barriers, and he does that through community. Anytime you have a barrier with somebody, it's because you're building a wall, and we're forgetting our place in Christ. And we're not being reminded that, listen, when we come to God, all those are torn away. We are all equals in the eyes of God or in the presence of Christ. Number two, communities operate in unity. Now, I'm going to talk about agreement in a moment in one of my later points, but communities, faith communities, operate in unity. Now, let me kind of show you what I think this actually means. When Paul writes to the Roman church, and a lot of these churches are young, and they're still trying to figure a lot of stuff out, but he writes to the Roman church, and in Romans chapter 12, he uses some imagery that everybody can understand because everybody lives with this. Everybody lives with physical bodies, and so he's going to speak to that, use that as an image to describe how we can be a part of community. In verse 4 of Romans chapter 12, it says, for each of us has one body with many members or many parts, many different things. And these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Saying that this thing is designed to work in unity. And not every part of this thing does exactly the same thing. You ever hurt your shoulder or your knee or your back? It affects everything, doesn't it? It doesn't just affect that area. It affects all of it. And it's saying these things are designed to be together. Now, don't misunderstand me. We are all equals in being a part of the family of God. But I think that our world speaks way too much about equality. We're always trying to say everybody needs to be equal. Everybody needs to be equal. Paul says that's not where God is at. Some of you are different than others, and that's what makes the body amazing and awesome, is that some of you are hands, and some of you are ears, and some of you are this. And if you're an eye, be a good eye, but eyes cannot smell. And noses cannot feel touch. Noses cannot hear. Saying, just be the part that God has created you to be in the midst of that community. And we overrun some of these other things, and we're going to actually talk about it. Paul's going to push that image a little bit later to say equality is not where God is at. But it's not going to be probably what you think and maybe what you like. But communities operate in unity. Number three is this. Communities consider the other. Now, what does that mean? That means whatever part of the community is not you. Okay? It's very easy for us to consider me in my community. It's very hard to consider someone else. When people get married, what they're saying, ultimately, to paraphrase, yes, I take you and you and blah, blah, blah. What they're saying is, moving forward in my life, I'm not just going to think about me. I'm going to consider you. You are an equal part in this community, and it's not just me. And I have to think about you. Communities that become selfish, that are all about me, are unhealthy communities. We have to learn to see the other. We have to learn to recognize that it's not just me as a part of this body. In Acts chapter 2, when Luke is writing this, in Acts chapter 2, it talks about the early church being started. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter's gotten up and he's proclaimed what God is doing and that God has torn down the barriers and we now can be in relationship with him. But in verse 42, some of the earliest descriptions of what the early church does, it says, They are devoted people to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship, to prayer. And it says they have all things in common. So much so that they're willing to sell what they have to give to somebody else because they have started to recognize that they are not the only people in the community. They have eyes to see the other. That God has given them eyes to say, hey, it's not just about me. I think about myself. When was the last time I was willing to get rid of something for me to give to somebody who had need? Because that's community. That's the description of what community ultimately is. Number four, communities push each other. Nicely, kindly, humbly, in love, but they push each other. If you're part of a community that always agrees with you, it's not community, it's an acquaintance. Because the Bible talks all the time about when we have eyes to see the other, that there's going to be times when other people are weak and I need to step up and support and encourage and help them up. And then there's going to be times when I'm weak and those people in the community are going to lift me up and push me up and carry me for a little bit of the time. The reality is that we need to be in this relationship where we push each other to be better than what we are right now. If you read Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is really about communities that are struggling. But Hebrews chapter 10 is a beautiful passage about community. And it talks about this idea of, you know, we need to stop, you know, leaving each other alone. We need to be meeting together and engaging with each other and helping each other. But it says that we should think about the other and ways that we can spur them along, ways that we can push them along. I exist in the community not to get something from you. I exist in the community to try to push you to become better. As the old proverb says in Proverbs 27, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And I've got news for us. We can't do that with social distance. You can't sharpen blades from a distance. You've got to be in the thick of it, in the mess with other people. And sometimes they're going to sharpen you and it's going to hurt and sparks are going to fly. And sometimes you're going to sharpen them. And it's going to make them into who they are as we all step towards the community of faith. Number five, this is a big word, but communities work synergistically. And what that means is this: synonymous energy, meaning we have the same idea. This is really a great definition of what unity really is, that we believe in the same thing and the same direction that we're going, and we are all pouring our energy into each other towards that direction. What that means is that we see God is calling us to go here, and together we are locking arms and standing in unity and giving all of our resources towards that goal. That's why unity and agreement are different things. You see, when we have the unity part, this is where God's calling us to go, and this is where we're going to move towards. You can disagree. What color is the carpet going to be? Are we going to paint this? Are we going to serve donuts? How much is that going to cost? You can disagree about those little things because they're nothing. They're small. They're us seeing like this. And when we open our eyes and we see the unity that God is calling us to, those disagreements really don't matter. Those disagreements are more about us. Have you ever met that person that comes to you with a genuine problem? And they ask you, and you're giving them your opinion, and you can tell by the look on their face they don't like what you're saying because you're not agreeing with them enough. You ever see that? Or you hear them 5 minutes later talking to somebody else because they're looking for somebody that agrees with them. This is what they're saying. I have blinders on, and I can't see anything about bigger than me, and I'm just going to walk around in the dark until I find somebody that agrees with me. If everybody in our community always agrees with us, we're actually missing the point. If we see the bigger picture and say, this is where God's calling us, this is what God's doing with us, and we're stepping towards that together, the little things actually will never be remembered because this is what counts. Paul writes what I'm going to call the most annoying passage in Philippians chapter 2. Because he sets a precedent. You know, Jesus says, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. I like that. That means we're equals. Paul says that's not enough. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Translation, it's not about me. It's not about me. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility. Value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And then after this, he talks about Jesus and says, Jesus is God, and he could have done whatever he wanted, but he chose to pour himself out for our sake. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. This is really what he's saying. He's saying, if you look in the community, you should be at the end of the line, not in the front of the line. And we are good at being in the front of the line. This is what we should do. This is my opinion. This is where I'm at. And what this text says is, actually, I need to be a great listener first, and I need to support everybody else. And if we're handing out tickets, I don't get ticket number one. I get ticket number 299. And by the way, I'm reminded that I'm not even the leader of this community. That happens to be God. And I'm really going to allow everybody else to wait. I'm going to allow everybody else to be moved forward before I complain and say, well, I'm not getting what I want, or I'm not getting what I need. I find that the reason why our communities, the communities of our lives, are not moving forward is because they're still too much about me. Well, they're too much about what I want. Now, as I said, next week we're going to talk about commitment and commitment that comes with sacrifice as a part of these four C's. But I really think that if we take these five principles, and if you read Scripture and you find other one another passages, you can add them to this list and take that stencil and lay it over the communities that we have. Lay it over our marriages. Lay it over our families. Lay it over our workplaces. Lay it over our Facebook conversations. Lay it over every part of what we do in our lives. And we're going to find where true community is. And we're going to find how relational we really are. And Paul says, this is a big deal. I don't want to just be a part of a church that says, hey, we go to church and that. I want to be a part of a community. I want to be a part of a place that says, we believe God is taking us somewhere. And I believe in that. And I'm going to get out of my own way and give him space he needs, and I'm going to consider others. And in the midst of that, maybe, just maybe, I'll find the real community that Paul speaks so much about. It's a big deal to Paul because he talks about it all the time. Just go home and look up how many one another or one passages there are in Scripture. And you'll see how big a deal community is. I think we've had time to step back, to evaluate our world, and say, wow, we have an opportunity to step into greater things. I'm going to pray for us this morning, and then Julie's going to come and share a story with our kids, but the adults can still listen. It's really funny. I just want to tell you that I thoroughly enjoyed that story, by the way. And then we'll exit you guys out of the East doors here at the end of that. But let me pray for us this morning. Father, thank you for meeting us in this place. Thank you for speaking softly to our hearts. Thank you for allowing us to just be in your presence and be in the presence of each other. I thank you for calling us to be your children. Thank you for giving us so much grace when we mess up community. But thank you for another chance that we can find it today. Thank you that we have had the opportunity to just be here this morning, to see faces, to share. And God, we just pray that every week more and more people will find confidence, will lay down fear, and will come and be a part of this. Father, thank you for meeting us in this place today. And we pray that you would just continue to call us to be a part of this beautiful community that you've created, called the church. And it's all because of Jesus, because he tore down barriers between us and you, that we can tear down barriers between one another. And it's in his name that we pray. And the whole church together says,